Schroyer and Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue
steel. I got another joke for you. I got another joke. Listen to this one. Listen. Wait. Antifa.
Wait a second.
Seriously.
Antifa. I've never heard of her.
It's French for you know what. Grab him by the Antifa.
Woo. Antifa. I think they owe me money.
Yeah.
Hey, don't count on it. They don't have jobs.
Oh. That's why they're always out protesting, eh? Hey, well, I'm with my group of city slickers here, and we're actually the real Antifa. You see, there's two Antifas out there. There's the Antifa that actually likes fascism and communism, and there's us. We're the anti-Antifa. We're the Antifa that actually hates fascism and communism, and we know what we're talking about.
We're not confused.
No, we're not confused. We know what our genders are, and we know what fascism is. It's very simple. But our brothers over
there's
there.
There's no G here. No G.
We'll call them our brothers over at Antifa just to piss them off. We'll make them cisgender today, even though half the brothers think they're sisters, if you know what I'm saying. But Antifa now, they are posting this. Guys, pull this story up from.
I think half the sisters think they're brothers, reform. Too.
Yeah, well, they just don't know. But
they're confused.
They're very confused people. They're the confused gender, if you know what I'm saying. But now Antifa is putting out flyers saying that there's white supremacist fascists on their campuses, and they think they're in the Wild West or something here, putting out these most wanted things on college campuses, and they're particularly going after college Republicans now. So what we're going to do here at InfoWars is we're going to make a new T-shirt, you see? So we got our T-shirt here because you got some fake anti-fascists out there that are actually very fascist, and they've never actually studied history. So me and my gang of real anti-fascists, we decided we're going to make a shirt right here. It's going to be on InfoWarsStore.com in just a couple days. This is a special debut. Actually, we kind of had to put a guy in a headlock just to get these T-shirts on air today.
Give me them shirts.
So now we got them. They're going to be on InfoWarsStore.com soon. But, boy, guys, it's pretty fun fighting fascism, isn't it?
It sure is. Hey, you know, we were talking about what if these guys get in our faces and stuff. You know, we go out. You know what I'm going to do if one of these Antifas get in my face?
What are you going to do, Rob?
I'm going to pull out my pocket constitution
and
shove it right in his.
Whoa.
Hey, that's as dangerous as a gun to a communist, I'll tell you something.
It might be more dangerous. That might be racist, actually, to these guys.
That's right.
These punks think the Constitution's
right
racist.
You saying the Constitution is racist?
That's what they're telling me.
My God, I've never heard
I've been hearing lately.
I've never even... I've read the Constitution many times. I've never seen anything about race even mentioned in there.
There isn't, unfortunately.
Shocking.
Yeah.
What's Antifa going to do about that?
Equal.
Exactly.
All men.
Created
equal. Oh, all men.
Sounds a little racist.
That's a little sexist there. All men?
All men.
How could you
think that everyone might be a man or a woman? What if you're a member of Antifa and you're caught in between?
Did I just hurt someone's feelings?
You're transitioning.
He's transitioning. Hey, but folks, really, we're the real anti-fascist. We're from InfoWars.com, and we're not going to sit around and be bullied by all these fake anti-fascists out there. So we're the anti-Antifa that's actually here to fight communism. And you know what we like to do sometimes? We like to sit around, smoke a cigar, maybe drink some whiskey, and laugh like crazy people.
Yeah.
So that's right, Antifa. We're going to steal your logo. We're going to steal your movement.
Oh,
and then we're going to steal your girlfriend, too.
It.
How do you like that? All right, folks. We'll be right back with the War Room on the other side here.
November 4th.
Wait, I got one more joke. Antifa.
Let's make talk radio.
is the War Room.
All right, folks, welcome into the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Troyer. We've got stacks and stacks and stacks of news today. We've got video clips that are shocking. I'm not even sure where to begin. Honestly, the news is so big today. You're going to have the JFK files get released. You've got now mainstream news covering Corey Feldman talking about exposing the pedophile ring and how he feels his life is in danger. Not that I care about Ashley Judd, honestly. However, she did give the first TV interview. And wow, if you didn't think Ashley Judd is as dumb as she looks, now you can be sure of that. So we'll talk about what she said in that interview that was like you just stunningly ignorant. Jesus Campos, the security guard from the Vegas massacre, it's now being reported that he fled the country after the Vegas massacre. Very odd. Another ripple in the Vegas massacre cover-up that continues to go on, and we're yet to hear anything from the FBI or the police since their last press conference. That was, two Fridays ago. Just crazy that that could even happen. They've responded now. They're saying that Antifa's war on November 4th is a white right-wing conspiracy, except we just report on what Antifa does. So we'll break that down because there's actually a bit of victory in this for InfoWars, and I'll explain that. We're going to have Tyler Nixon in the second hour, which is normally the Stone Zone with us here in the War Room. Tyler Nixon is an expert on JFK and the cover-up of that. And, of course, with the documents being released tonight, that will be a hot topic. So we'll be talking with Tyler Nixon in the second hour. Then in the third hour, Alistair Williamson will be joining me. He's from StockboardAsset.com. A lot of his work gets picked up by Zero Hedge. You'll recognize him as a guest. He made a crazy discovery. It's the weirdest thing, and it goes right along with the November 4th Antifa protest. And I'll just leave that right there for a teaser. Alistair Williamson will be with us in the 5 o'clock central hour here on The War Room. Like I said, stacks of news, political news. It's Hillary Clinton's birthday, so we're going to make fun of Hillary Clinton for the entire show. That'll be nice fun, a nice little birthday gift for Hillary Clinton. I mean, come on. Hillary Clinton falls over on 9/11. If that's not higher powers just sticking it to Hillary Clinton, I don't know what is. And then on her birthday, she sends out the really psychopathic tweet last year on her birthday, wishing herself a birthday and basically giving herself the presidency. There it is. Not only did you lose the presidency, now this tweet will haunt you for the rest of your life, you cold-hearted witch. And I'm sorry, but that picture of a young Hillary looks like it's straight out of Children of the Corn, okay? Or maybe like The Shining or something. It's like a horror film, Hillary Clinton. So it's her birthday. So not only does Hillary Clinton fall over on 9/11, now on her birthday, Uranium One is the biggest story. Uranium One and how Clinton funded the Trump dossier. So happy birthday to Hillary Clinton. Here's a nice Uranium One cake for you. And just for kicks, we'll also expose the fact that you are the one that funded the Trump dossier's, research, disclosure. That was Hillary Clinton. Shocking. I know. Nobody saw that one coming. More falling in the wake of Weinstein Gate. We've got a robot that just became a citizen in Saudi Arabia. I've got some audio of that robot from over a year ago that's quite shocking. And then I've got a stack of news about the liberals. Liberalism is truly a mental disorder, if you don't understand that yet. And that's not because, hey, the left always wants to tear down language with calling everything racist, or you can't say, you know, words like retarded because it's, you know, politically incorrect. So they try to censor language that way. But now they're basically ruining the term liberal. So liberalism is now a mental disorder where it used to be just someone who's kind of free and open-minded to stuff. Now liberalism is just a mental disorder. So you can also thank the left for that. Stacks of news proving that. And then there's actually more developments going on in North Korea. We'll talk about that as well, including a statement Trump made to me that is, I just think, a terrible idea, and I hope he doesn't go through with it. But before I get to all of that, and we'll be doing that for the rest of the show, I want to start with this. I'll tell you what. First, let's start with this. This is a account on Twitter, at Meme Alert News. I actually just discovered them, I think it was today. They put out some pretty good stuff there. Meme Alert News, and they found this tweet from Metro, at Metro UK. I don't know who that is. I guess it's a news organization based in the UK. Dear white people, you're never discriminated against, so shut up. And as Meme Alert News correctly points out, when you refute your story in the headline. So they have a headline that discriminates against white people and then write a story about how white people aren't discriminated against. And then this was shared with me today from one of our fans here in Austin, Texas. This is from the Austin Chronicle. How to assemble your armed white male mask. The new face of terror, no ammo necessary. Okay, so they tell you that white people can't be racist, as they're racist against white people. And then the Austin Chronicle says that the new face of terror is a white male. So the story goes on. By the way, I'll just go ahead and just read from this. White guys are shooting way too many people way too often. According to statistics compiled by, guess who, Mother Jones, which has kept a database on mass shootings dating back to 1982. Actually, mass shootings are down, and most shooting crimes are actually black on black, but they ignore those facts because they're not reported on Mother Jones. The specific subset of Americans has been responsible for 54% of the mass shootings over that time period. Wait a second. So you're telling me that white people in America who, since the time, since 1982, probably make up, and I'm being probably low on this, let's just say white people make up 60%, 65% of the U.S. population, and Mother Jones says they're responsible for 54% of the mass shootings in this country, that actually would indicate that white people aren't shooting people as much as other people, but they don't have that logic and reasoning. And now actually the left says logic and reasoning are racist. I'm not even, that's a real story. So following this month's, I'm reading from the story again. Following this month's massacre in Las Vegas, in which 64-year-old Stephen Paddock unloaded a litany of guns on a festival crowd, killing 59, injuring over 500 others, we could think of no image more representative of horror this Halloween than the angry eyes of an armed white male peering at you through a gun scope. So now, according to the Austin Chronicle, white men are the face of terror in the world. So it doesn't matter. Go to it right now. What is it? Jihad Watch? I think it's Jihad Watch is the name of the website. Jihad Watch literally has a database of all of the radical Islamic terror, the Islamic extremist terror. Okay? This happens almost on a daily basis. And the Austin Chronicle is going to tell you that white people are the face of terror now. And I'm not even saying that, I'm not even sitting here trying to say Islam is the face of terror. I'm not saying anything is the face of terror. If anything, Hillary Clinton is the face of terror. The point is, they hate white people. That's it. That's all they had. There's all the dates. Look at this. Every day there's a radical Islamic terror attack. But according to the Austin Chronicle, white men are the new face of terror. So they're building the case to wage a war against white people. And here's the craziest thing to me about this. It'd be one thing to start a race war if it was a bunch of black people saying this. It's not. It's always white people. It's always self-loathing white people that hate themselves and then want every white person to also be hated by the world. So it's not even racism. Again, it's a mental disorder.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
clear something up. The name of the website is actually Religion of Peace, not Jihad Watch. They do great work at both websites, but Religion of Peace is the one that has a database of all the radical Islamic terror. So, you know, I've got a crew here that likes to make sure that I'm factually accurate and that I get all the angles covered. So, while the Austin Chronicle tells you that the white male is the face of terror because they hate white men so much, and then they use Stephen Paddock as the example, I won't even get into the fact that there were multiple shooters. I won't even get fired up about the fact that we've been lied to about the Vegas massacre. I won't even get into the fact that Paddock was likely a patsy or an FBI cutout. So I'm not even going to get into that angle. We'll just cover the fact that the Austin Chronicle is racist. And then we'll give them a little facts to shut them down. So according to the numbers at religionofpeace.com that are always accurate with this stuff, they're always on top of it. Even though the Austin Chronicle says the white man is the face of terror because of Stephen Paddock, there have been 1,200 deaths from radical Islamic terror attacks since October 1st. So, I'm not good at math, but what is that like? I mean, that's at least 10 times as much as Paddock, the white male. So that's just since October 1st. So just this month, since the left loves to play identity politics, they want to stack up 59 deaths on a white male, Stephen Paddock, even though we don't even know the truth about that. They want to credit the white male terrorism to 59 deaths. So then, will the left admit that in October, radical Islam is responsible for 1,200 deaths? There you go. How do you like that? Oh, that's just this week. Pull that back up. Oh, just this week, 711 deaths just this week from radical Islamic terror. But the racist Austin Chronicle says that white men are the terrorists. But they don't even mention, you know, war criminals like the Bush family or the Clinton crime family. No, it's Stephen Paddock that we don't even get the truth about. And then there's this little ditty. 78 homicides make October Chicago's second deadliest month this year, and there's still a week to go. Oh, and by the way, most of that crime in Chicago, 90% of those shootings are black-on-black crime. So, since October 1st, the night of the Las Vegas massacre, Islam has killed 12, radical Islam has killed 1,200 people. Islamic extremist terrorists, 1,200 people since October 1st, and there have been 78 homicides in Chicago, most of which are black-on-black crime. But because the Austin Chronicle is racist, they will only report on the white male. Okay, I usually save this stuff for the last segment, but I've got a stack of news here proving to you liberalism is a mental disorder. So let's see if we can get through all this. Kellogg's to replace racially insensitive Corn Pops boxes following Twitter call-out. Folks, there's literally a bunch of, like, just shapes. There's just shapes and colors on the back of the cereal box. It's like a kid's game. And the left is so obsessed with race and color and identity that they think it's racist. You've never heard or seen anything more ridiculous in your life. There it is. There's the racist cereal box, folks. A racist, an inanimate object is now racist to the left. How about this one? Actually, this is kind of sick news, guys. This was the tweet that I sent you guys from Meme Alert. Folks, I want to be very clear before we get into this. I have nothing against whatever sexuality you want to choose, whatever you want to do with your personal life, you know, intimate moments between two consenting people. I have no care, no qualms. It's none of my business. However, when you see something like this, it starts to raise red flags. Now, notice this picture. This is a gay pride march empowering families with gender non-conforming children and transgender youth. Okay, well, first of all, this is the whole thing is based on a mental disorder. I'm sorry. All of it's a mental disorder. But now go down to the picture below this. This is really where you start to say, Whoa. So you've got a gay couple. Now, I'm assuming this. I don't know these facts. I'm trying to paint this in the most politically correct light possible. You have a gay couple, probably married. It looks like he has a ring on his left finger there, but I don't know. Gay married couple, let's just assume they've adopted this boy and this is their adopted son and now they're kissing on the lips. Now, that would be the most politically correct thing that you could make an argument saying, it's okay, this is just a dad kissing his son on the lips. Now, you want to go dark with this, folks? I don't think I need to say the darker side of this. And even if the lighter side of this, which I just mentioned, is true, still pretty dark. But again, a guy kissing like a 5-year-old kid on the lips in the streets. 20 years ago, that wouldn't be celebrated. Oberlin paying students to conduct social justice education. Oberlin College is offering to pay students $8.50 an hour to become social justice education facilitators. I got news for you. If you have to pay to seek social justice, then it's not social justice. It's now just a job. Student government mandates diversity training for members. Wichita State University student government recently passed a bill mandating that all members complete 6 1-hour training issues on issues like diversity and microaggressions. How is it that movies like Idiocracy, how is it a show like South Park makes parody episodes about diversity, safe spaces, microaggressions, a whole season on it, some of their best work, PC Principal, and then higher education actually adapts the jokes made by South Park?
Hi, I am Professor So-and-so. And I am in charge of social diversity here at the university. And if you don't like that, you're probably guilty of microaggression.
And now in the UK, you can be arrested. Dislike and unfriendliness can be hate crimes. UK police confirm. You're hearing all these crazy stories out of UK now. Yeah, you can't look at things, you can't share things, you can't say things, and the thought police are going to come arrest you if you do. Disney Channel to introduce gay storyline on children's sitcom. You know, it'd be one thing, I guess, just to have a gay character or whatever. And again, I don't even care, okay? Parents, you don't have to let your kids watch this, but it talks about a young guy who basically is sharing his story about how he's actually gay and he's having these feelings, and you know how impressionable kids are. You know how Disney likes to manipulate kids' minds and sexualize children. They're just stepping it up to the next level. So, do we boycott Disney now too, like we boycotted the NFL that's now had the worst ratings in years again? We'll be right back.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
So here's the deal. People in America like to watch sports and become enamored with sports because it's how we escape from the dregs of society, our day-to-day activity that drags people down, the politics that are just so corrupt, the swamp. So we go to sports. We try to forget about it. We want to be entertained. We want to go into that arrested development mode and cheer on people that are playing sports, you know, grown men playing sports. But as soon as you try to inject your politics into sports, that's when you see failures. And so basically, the news story here is the same story, that the NFL ratings continue to plummet. However, they're doing basically parallel comparisons to the NFL 2 years ago. And on average, the NFL game has 1 million less people watching than it did 2 years ago. Now, that is amazing. Now, this all, I was actually going to look this up. This all came, obviously, with the start of Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. I think actually he sat during the national anthem originally during a preseason game, and then I think he took a knee during the national anthem during a regular season game, but that was when he was on the 49ers. Regardless, the 49ers are 1-22 or something. I think the 49ers are 1-22 since Kaepernick took a knee. 1-22, the worst team in football. And then the Cleveland Browns, who have protested, I would say, probably the most right behind the 49ers, are 2-21. So the two teams that have protested and injected their politics the most, the Browns and the Niners, are the two worst teams in football. Just like Hillary Clinton falls over on 9/11 and Uranium One trends on her birthday, somehow the higher powers kind of give us little signs here, show us they're still in control. But the interesting thing to me about this is the only teams that seem to be picking up coverage are the Cowboys, the Steelers, and the Patriots. And then right behind that, they're saying the Eagles. What I've noticed about this is, think about this. The Cowboys, even though Jerry Jones pulled the whole knee stunt, they've kind of been the most outspoken about being pro-America, pro-police. And I think Jerry Jones just did the knee thing to try to kind of show unity amongst his team and make sure they didn't kneel during the anthem. So their ratings go up. The Steelers, you had Andrew Villanueva, the person that went and stood for the national anthem and put his hand on his heart during the national anthem while the rest of the Steelers skipped it. Their ratings go up. The Patriots' ratings are good. Bob Kraft, friends with President Trump. Tom Brady has Make America Great Again hat in his locker. And then Carson Wentz, well, let's just say could be a closet Trump supporter. And what do you know? Those are the only teams that are picking up ratings. Shocking, I know. All right, let's finish the rest of this stack of liberalism as a mental disorder. Oh, my goodness. This stack is bigger than I even thought it was. Here's your multiculturalism, folks. German mainstream media says migrant crime area a no-go zone. So you've got no-go zones in London. You've got no-go zones in Sweden. You've got no-go zones in Germany. That's what you call an invasion, okay? When someone invades your country and then you can't even go to that area, that's an invasion. So that's nice that the EU is really working and that multiculturalism is really working in Europe. I mean, really, really good for them. New terror laws would criminalize thought, watchdog warrants. Again, we covered this. This is in the UK where you can be arrested for saying or tweeting the wrong thing. But if a bunch of people want to migrate illegally to your country and your government lets them do it, and then they don't even let you go into their area and it's a no-go zone or they'll stab you or something, that's okay. Inside Apple struggle to get the iPhone X to market on time. You know what? This one kind of snuck in there for me. The question that I have about this, you've got the iPhone 8 that they're already not selling enough of. So the iPhone 8 hits the market, doesn't reach the sales that they were supposed to reach. Then they release the iPhone X prematurely, and then they can't even sell that. So are people no longer hyped up about iPhones? Or was there some reason that Apple wanted to prematurely release the iPhone X, aka the facial recognition technology everywhere? But the iPhone 8 is not selling, and the iPhone X got to about 50% of what they had for sales projections. So that's very interesting. And that's the iPhone X with the facial recognition technology. More technology in that phone to recognize your face than anything else. How about this? Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell seriously worried if she will be able to live through Trump's presidency. Well, I hope Rosie O'Donnell isn't suicidal. But I mean, she's clearly really struggling. This is another example of a liberal with a mental disorder. So let's go back in time, though. Let's go to a classic when Megyn Kelly was relevant. Here's Megyn Kelly asking Donald Trump about how he feels about women.
One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account...
Only Rosie O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't.
Hit the crowd cheers.
Your Twitter account...
Aww. You remember when Megyn Kelly was relevant?
Thank you.
Hey, you guys remember when Megyn Kelly was relevant? Oh, yeah, then she tried to bury Alex Jones, and Alex Jones becomes bigger than ever, and Megyn Kelly is relegated to getting drunk on daytime television. That's just a classic. Classic Trump. Trump judicial nominee draws more scrutiny over LGBT comments. I'm getting my stacks mixed up here. All right, put that on hold. Put that on hold. Here you go. Don Lemon files police report after alleged death threat from white nationalists. So Don Lemon weeps on air. Now he's filing a police report for a death threat. I'm actually behind you on this, Don. I agree. And let's file a police report from all the people that have threatened to kill Donald Trump as well, including the people in the theater, Snoop Dogg, and the likes of CNN's Kathy Griffin. So I'm behind Don Lemon on that. Arrest people for death threats. Now, Saudi Arabia becomes first country to grant citizenship to a robot. This is liberal. This is tolerant. Saudi Arabia now says they're going to be more modern. We'll see what that all means. So you heard on Alex Jones, there was, I guess you could call a semblance of a press conference with this robot in Saudi Arabia. But I went back into the archives, and here's a clip that I found of this robot from March of 2016.
This will allow her to get smarter over time. Her goal is that she will be as conscious, creative, and capable as any human.
In the future, I hope to do things such as go to school, study, make art, start a business, even have my own home and family. But I'm not considered a legal person and cannot yet do these things.
I do believe that there will be a time where robots are indistinguishable from humans. My preference is to make them always look a little bit like robots, so you know.
Well, thank God.
20 years from now, I believe that human-like robots like those will walk among us. They will help us. They will play with us. They will teach us. They will help us put the groceries away. I think that the artificial intelligence will evolve to the point where they will truly be our friends. Do you want to destroy humans? Please say no.
Okay. I will destroy humans.
No! Oh, wow. And that robot is now a citizen of Saudi Arabia. So I'm just confused here. Is it now true that robots have more rights than women in Saudi Arabia? This is a citizen now. A robot is now a citizen of Saudi Arabia. But, you know, they just started allowing women to drive. The laws in Saudi Arabia oppressing women are still prevalent. So is it true now a robot has more rights than a woman in Saudi Arabia? And it doesn't matter that it's a joke. The robot said that it wants to destroy all humans. It's just a joke. You know, make it a citizen. It wants to have a family. It wants to have a family. And then next, you can go turn yourself into a dolphin and you can be a citizen too. And then you can get married to your toaster oven as well. That's... All right, I've got an entire stack of Hillary Clinton news on her birthday. Uranium One, the dirty dossier, everything. It's all coming back and blown up right in Clinton's face, right in the Democrats' face. And so I've got all of that, stacks of news, different angles, powerful clips that we're going to get to, but that's probably going to have to wait till the third hour, as we're about to be joined by Tyler Nixon here in the second hour to cover the JFK files as well as take your calls. But before we get to any of that, I have to let you know about the big specials going on right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got 50% off some of our most popular supplements right now. That includes Silver Bullet, that includes Anthroplex, that includes Vitamin D Winter Sun, and BrainForce Plus, still off 50%. Silver Bullet, this is an excellent product for multiple things, stuffy nose, sore throat, cuts, abrasions, incredible, powerful product there. Silver Bullet, 50% off. Anthroplex, 50% off. BrainForce, 50% off. Winter Sun, 50% off. Winter's around the corner, and you know what that means, you're not going to get as much sun. So that's why we sell Winter Sun, and instead of upcharging you with the seasonal price, we just go ahead and slash it in half. That's just how we roll at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm actually wearing some InfoWarsStore.com products right now. We debuted this t-shirt right here. yes, we are basically mocking and mimicking and stealing this from Antifa. Yes, that's what we do. You call us deplorables. We take it. We run with it. We own it. That's how we roll. You try to start fake news, and now we own fake news. That's us against you. So the real anti-fascists are right here at InfoWarsStore.com. I've also decided to put on my InfoWars.com lapel pin today. This is one of my favorite lapel pins. Look at that camera zoom. Bing. Moan Labe, folks, right there. InfoWarsStore.com. Lapel pins, t-shirts, hats, water filters, air filters, supplements. I can't even think of all the stuff we have. Household products, shampoo, bug spray, sunscreen, you name it. We probably got it now at InfoWarsStore.com. So be sure to get to InfoWarsStore.com, buy something, support this broadcast, and then when you support us, when you purchase our products, know that you're fueling us to grow to the next level. And that's not just rhetoric. You've seen that by supporting us, by going to the store. You've seen what Alex has done here at InfoWars, expanding our live broadcast to 10 hours a day. He's building a new studio right now as well, and we are absolutely devastating the globalists. In fact, I've got a story here we're going to get to in the third hour with Alistair Williamson, but sometimes just by reporting on something, you can change how that something may have gone down. So we'll talk about that in the third hour with Alistair Williamson and the story that he broke today. And again, Tyler Nixon is going to be joining us here in the second hour, and we'll open up the phone lines for you, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. But specifically with Tyler Nixon, we want to be talking about JFK, the assassination, the cover-up, and the impending release of these documents here tonight. So that will be the brunt of the conversation in the second hour with Tyler Nixon and with your phone calls. But before we get to that, I've got a stack of political news here. See if there's any video clips that might be nice to go along with this as well. Yeah, maybe Creepy Uncle Joe makes it in here. So let's get into some of these headlines. Trump judicial nominee draws more scrutiny over anti-LGBT comments. We discriminate. This is Jeff Mateer, a nominee for a federal judge in Texas. And he says, this is the sexualization and the transgenderation of children is proof that Satan's plan is working. Describes same-sex marriage as a harbinger for disgusting practices such as polygamy and bestiality, and advocated for conversion therapy. He says it's nothing less than brainwashing with the left's agenda on LGBT. He goes on and says, guess what? I attended a conservative Baptist church. We discriminate, right? On the basis of sexual orientation, we discriminate. Does that mean I can't be a judge? In some states, I think it's true, unfortunately. Now, here's the thing about this to me. Obviously, these comments are going to have the left going crazy. But there's two things about this to me. I'm not even saying I agree or disagree with his comments. One is the left, the political and societal left, gets to put their most radical people in power. They get to put their most radical people on a podium. They get them in the media. They get them on these benches. They get them in Congress. They get them everywhere. So the radical left is okay to put their radical leftists in all walks of life, all walks of society, any status of power. That's okay to have a radical leftist. But let's just consider this judge to be a radical rightist. Fine. Let's just say that. Well, how come the right doesn't get that? How come the radical left gets to put their most radical, foaming at the mouth, mentally deranged liberals all over our society, all over our institutions, and all over our government, but God forbid one person with hardcore conservative right-wing leaning views gets anything? What does that tell you, folks? That really shows the double standard on the left. And the truth of the matter is they have to censor stuff like this because it just defeats them every time. And to me, I don't sit here and say that this judge is anti-LGBT. What I say is this is a judge who just doesn't do nonsense. He doesn't play games. He's just a no-nonsense judge. And if you want to come to sit here and you want to talk about transgender and gay this and gay that, he's just going to be like, hey, leave me alone with it, okay? It's not normal. It's not right. I don't want to talk about it. I will discriminate against it. Oh, my God. Oh, radical right winger. So he's not allowed to be anywhere. But a radical left winger who wants to have a transsexual dress up like a demon and read to your kids at a library, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. Oh, and just wait till I get to my latest out of the ACLU. Huh. How about this? This is actually incredible. General Kelly said he'd prefer to admit between 0 and 1 refugees to the U.S. each year. You know, I actually have a lot of friends. Well, I don't know if I should say a lot, but I have friends, I know people, and I've met a lot of people in the service industry that did come here as refugees, and they're great people, and they're citizens now, and they hold a job, they pay taxes, and they're great members of our society. But sometimes things have to change. And I think that even though the refugee program is not only a great thing for giving people a chance to bring people here, give them a chance to fulfill their American dream, sometimes you just have to stop the floodgates, or sometimes when you've got a bunch of trains running off the rails, you have to say, okay, it's time to just shut this train down for a second so we can focus on getting some of these other trains back on the tracks. So you know the left will freak out over that, but I'm not against that policy. I'll be perfectly honest with you, at least for a small period of time when we try to get some of these other trains back on the track. I mean, everything is out of control. Healthcare. I mean, it's just such a joke. And the left just freaks out about everything with their virtues. Trump's Fed chair choice, largely down to Powell or Taylor. So originally it looked like Yellen was going to be back. Now it appears that Yellen is going to be out and it's down to Powell or Taylor. And actually people are reporting it looks like Powell has the edge right now to be the FEC chair. House passes $4 trillion budget in step forward for Trump tax plan. You know, this is a tough thing to cover as a Trump supporter because I can always complain about the budget. The budget always sends us more into debt. The budget is always funding things that I think overall may be unconstitutional. So am I supposed to support it now because it's Trump's and because it's going to free Trump's, you know, agenda in some aspects? I don't know. But regardless, that's the news. $4 trillion budget passes today. Mitch McConnell allies declare open warfare on Bannon. So this is the Republican establishment last stand right here, folks. And they apparently don't realize yet that they're only exposing themselves for who they are. See, if Mitch McConnell was smart, he would actually try to endear himself to Bannon and try to ally himself with Bannon instead of ally himself with the deep state and with the swamp to declare war on Bannon. Because I got news for you, Mitch McConnell. The same people that voted for Trump will choose Bannon over you every time. You are a swamp creature. And I guarantee you the people will choose Bannon over McConnell. Not that Bannon's running. It's just that McConnell's war against Bannon will be another failure. Hey, don't go anywhere. We got Tyler Nixon on the other side. The JFK files are about to be released.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Okay, folks, this is breaking right now. Release of JFK assassination file is delayed as deadline looms. Wow. This is the deep state trying to keep this secret, trying to keep these documents classified, trying to stop the truth from getting out as President Trump is trying to do just that. In fact, Go to the tweet from President Trump yesterday as I cover this. I'm going to read from this story right now, folks. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. I'm going to read from this story right now. But while you're doing that, just pull up Trump's tweet. So, this is from NBC News. Release of JFK assassination file is delayed as deadline looms. Now, listen to this. This is how they did it, folks. As of Thursday afternoon, the memo specifying which material the CIA, State Department, and other agencies still want to keep under wraps. That's right, folks. They still want to keep under wraps. Why? So there's Trump, though. The long-anticipated release of the JFK files will take place tomorrow. So why would he say that if it's going to be delayed? Well, here's why. Trump wanted to release them and still does, but the deep state is going to delay this. And here's how they did it. So again, you got the CIA, the State Department, probably the FBI. It just says other agencies still want to keep under wraps some of these files. And because they had not made it to Trump's desk yet for him to sign off on the release, they cannot be released. So, to me, this is basically the CIA, State Department, FBI, and all these agencies basically getting one over on Trump, and without him even probably realizing the order of command, if you will, making him believe that, okay, they can release all these documents and the president has approved such things. Oh, but wait, we forgot that there's all of these classified documents and you never approved this yet. Well, why didn't he approve it yet? Because they didn't put them on his desk. Wow. One official told NBC News there's a mad scramble going on in the executive branch to get this done. Yeah, I would guess that Trump is not happy about this. And if he feels like he's being undermined by the CIA and the State Department, I think he will say something. Of course, the CIA is asking for redactions. Of course they are. So this is what this confirms, folks. And I'm sure that more of this will be breaking as we're on air. So this is what this confirms. This confirms that the CIA, the FBI, and the State Department are going to continue to try to cover up the truth about the JFK assassination. And whatever would have been exposed in these documents would have been so damning and so destructive of the official narrative foisted upon us by the fake news media then, foisted upon us by the Warren Commission, is going to be proven such a lie and such a cover-up, and the American people are so awake and focused in right now that they can't do it. So we knew that the CIA and the FBI and the State Department didn't want to release these. We figured that since Trump was going to release them, they would redact them to hell, basically, and just erase the entire thing. Now that's confirmed. So that's what they're going to do. So whenever we do get these files, you're basically going to get an empty sheet of paper. And that will be the JFK assassination declassification. An empty sheet of paper, which only confirms, again, they're lying to us. They've been lying to us for 50 years. The JFK assassination is just as much as a cover-up of the Vegas massacre, folks. Understand that. The JFK assassination is just as much a cover-up as the Las Vegas massacre.
Is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are already into the second hour. We will take your phone calls on the JFK files. The news just broke. They're going to delay the release. Wow. 888-201-2244. Your calls for Tyler Nixon on this issue. I'm going to just kind of lay a basic framework here and then bring Tyler in to paint the picture. So we were kind of expecting not too much from these documents being released. We'd assume they would redact these things to hell and we wouldn't actually get down to much. But what we were expecting was to perhaps get a little light shed on the investigation into Oswald, who he was working for, who he was with, where he was, when, and what ultimately was painted out to potentially be a patsy, as well as also, though, with the redaction of these documents, kind of with all the interest, showing people how, wow, okay, the deep state really doesn't want the American people to have the truth. So with that framework painted or given to you, I now bring in Tyler Nixon. Tyler, it's just breaking. They're not going to release the JFK files today, even though President Trump tweeted yesterday they were. What do you think about this?
Well, I hate to rain on everybody's parade since this is such a big deal, and I've been studying this for 33 years since I was a young kid, but there's not going to be any bombshells in their release. The Central Intelligence Agency is not going to release anything that would be inculpatory of them. The bottom line is this. I think that there's people at that agency who don't even know the details of the JFK assassination. And when President Trump surprised everybody by saying he was going to go ahead and release or allow the release of the files, that they had to figure out what the hell was going on. What can't we release? What would be, what would again be inculpatory of the Central Intelligence Agency, among others. And, I don't know how they get away with this, frankly, because the statute requires it. I mean, the Assassination Records Review Board Act of 1992, which, 25 years ago was supposed to be today. So I guess I don't know. They're just it wouldn't be the first law, obviously, that they've skirted. But I don't think there's going to be any bombshells in there. And I think they really want to go over it with a fine tooth comb to be sure, though, because who knows? There's always some little thing that they didn't think of. And that's what's great about the assassination research community. For years, they've gone over with a fine-tooth comb all kinds of evidence to – you wouldn't even believe the level of minutia they go to basically punch holes in the official story and to prove that there was a conspiracy, that President Kennedy was shot by multiple gunmen, and that the government – elements of the government, people within the government were absolutely involved in covering up the assassination, which is I don't see how you could argue with it at this point. The medical evidence alone is just a complete disaster in terms of any kind of lone gunman story. And, similar to the Vegas shooting, JFK is one, obviously 9/11. It seems like these – if you can never seem to get right to the truth of the matter – there's something more to it. There's something going on here. And I think you mentioned the Vegas shooting. I think it absolutely tracks along the lines of a controlled story, because there's way more than the government wants us to know, if not complicity of the government as well.
Well, and you just mentioned how you weren't really expecting a bombshell to come from this file release. And I was kind of the same way. I figured that they already redacted anything out of here that could, implicate anyone inside of these agencies, or perhaps just give ultimate blowback to the official story. But, I'm wondering now, though, because there was so much attention, because so many people aren't believing the Vegas massacre official story, I'm wondering now that the bombshell might be the fact that they aren't releasing it when they said President Trump would. Or when they do, that you're just going to get a blank sheet of paper. I think that could almost be a bombshell in and of itself.
Sure. Well, I think the bombshell is the fact that the president decided to release it. That's a huge step forward. I mean, I think the fact of his willingness to do that is more of a story than what's going to be in there. The thing about it is, as I understand it, there were 30,000 pages that they were supposed to lift the redactions from there. So in other words, it wasn't exactly like they were going to release documents that we hadn't seen before. It was they were going to clear off the ostensible blacking out so people could see what was behind it. And then there were 3,000 that they had not released before. I think the bottom line is this. It's a bigger story that President Trump wants to be transparent with it, and frankly took the CIA off guard and unawares. I don't think people are aware that in 1976, when H.W. Bush, our current groper, and by the way, as far as George H.W. Bush goes with this latest round of people accusing, ladies accusing him of groping them. I mean, where is Dr. Kevorkian when you need him, honestly? But anyway, that's not to have an aside there. But yeah, I don't have much love for the Bush family or George H.W. Bush in particular. I think he gets a free pass. He was one of the spookiest, nastiest operators that you can imagine, and sort of one of the founders of the deep state. Absolutely. I mean, his family was neck deep in it, from going back to the Brown Brothers Harriman to their ties to the Nazis.
There have been books written about Prescott Bush and how he was funding Nazis.
Yeah, and I bear the name Nixon, obviously, and Prescott Bush was behind Richard Nixon's rise in politics. Not that he was, Nixon was his own man for sure, but he definitely, they bankrolled it back in 48 when he first ran. But anyway, not to get off track with the Kennedy assassination materials. Look, I was talking to a friend about this last night, and by the way, Roger sends his regards. He's got a little bout, as I understand it, of laryngitis, so he is sorry he couldn't make it today, and he'll be back again tomorrow. But the bottom line is this: the people are waiting, and these old, especially the old guys who have been researching this for so many years, and I have such respect for them. People have devoted their lives to uncovering the truth about President Kennedy's murder, which was one of the seminal events in our history. I don't think people understand, and what that's one of the things about this generation, your generation, you had to have grown up in a sense, as I did when I was, and I became aware of it at a very young age, actually, and it was a big deal. I mean, 25 years, 20 years, I mean, there were constant memorials, and it was every November 22nd, the country would sort of have a new revisitation of the fact that President Kennedy was killed. And you really did feel it. It was a very sad sad event, the echoes of which definitely rippled out through the decades. But
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to go down that train of thought because it's so key to me. We've had the same thing happen with 9/11 now. Used to be, the year after 9/11, the 10-year, it was always like, okay, we remember our way of life is under attack. They want to rebuild up this narrative about the war in the Middle East on terrorism. But now it's like it's taken a complete fallback, and it's like we need to be tolerant of Islam. Oh, Islam is the religion of peace. It's just like what you're saying with the JFK thing. It used to be like, hey, this is a reminder. Again, we're under attack. Powers that be try to stop this country from making progress, try to stop the people from having their president. And now it's just like, whatever, JFK. Yeah, sure, whatever, conspiracy theorist.
Right. And the thing is, JFK was a man of peace. He wanted peace. He was trying to have a rapprochement with the Soviet Union. Obviously, the near miss with the Cuban Missile Crisis was a wake-up call for everybody. And he was talking to Nikita Khrushchev, and he was attempting to reduce the spread and the proliferation of nuclear weapons. And whatever whether you agree with that or not, he was genuine in his intentions, and he was not going to be controlled and manipulated by the Central Intelligence Agency. As he famously said, as I understand it, he held a piece of paper up, ripped it in pieces, threw it in the air, and said, "That's what I'm going to do to the CIA."
Well, yeah, I think I think the exact quote was, guys, look this up. I think the exact quote was, he's going to splinter the CIA into a million pieces and spread it like dust in the wind, I think is what it was.
Scatter it to the winds, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he probably said it multiple times around the time that he got suckered into the Bay of Pigs fiasco, which people have to understand there's so much more to JFK than just the murder of a president. And, beyond the actual conspiracy and trying to figure out what happened is the fact that I cannot believe that the Central Intelligence Agency was not involved because of the figures that were involved with it. And the fact is that the deep state made its first real big play with the murder of our 35th president of the United States. And it's just it was shocking. It was horrifying. And only the Central Intelligence Agency, with the collusion of then President Lyndon Johnson, could get away with that.
And now still to this day, they're getting away with it as they are delaying the release of these documents. Don't go anywhere. Tyler Nixon will be back with us on the other side. This is The War Room. Well, the CIA covered up the truth on the JFK assassination back then, and they continue to do it still to this day. And it was JFK himself who said he would splinter the CIA and blow them into the wind like dust. Maybe that's why the CIA had an interest in making sure he was no longer around. We're joined by Tyler Nixon. We will take your phone calls with Tyler on the other side on the JFK files, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. The big story, it just broke. They're going to delay the release of the JFK files, even though Trump said they would be released today, because the CIA is in control and they need to scrub these files. But Tyler, you were saying before how you didn't think that there was going to be much to these files anyway.
Well, in as I was leading into in 1975, I believe it was, George H.W. Bush became director of the Central Intelligence Agency. And the first thing he did when he became director was order the Kennedy assassination files to be brought to him. Now, I guarantee you that those were absolutely perused. And the thing that he did miss, though, was they couldn't control was the J. Edgar Hoover memo, which references George Bush of the CIA. Within days of, literally, I think within 3 days of the assassination, is mentioned specifically in a memo by J. Edgar Hoover. And Hoover was no fool. Hoover knew exactly what he was doing. He was outing George Bush, who was playing, playing games down in Texas. I mean, there's so many connections and links between the Bushes, frankly, and at that time, the anti-Castro Cubans, the anti-communist efforts, and the deep state, the Central Intelligence Agency, amongst others. And it's such a tangled web. It took 3 decades, I think, to really get to close to the truth. And what I was saying earlier is a lot of the old guys, I think they're waiting for that day when somebody's going to, hold a press conference and say, we figured it out. Here it is. The real Zapruder film or something like that, where it's going to, be a bombshell that tells us, yes, it absolutely was a conspiracy and here's who did it. That's not going to happen. This has been a managed event from the beginning. Unfortunately, I think it was probably the first of many events where they've gradually honed their skills in terms of committing a shocking, not false flag, but I guess you could call it a psychological operation in which, well, it is a false flag in a sense. They're trying to blame it not only on poor Lee Harvey Oswald, but also the fact that trying to tie him into the Cubans and the Soviets. In other words, to and it's very diabolical the way they set these things up. Either you would have war with the Soviets or the Cubans, which is what they could live with that. Or if that's not the case, then Lyndon Johnson, as he did, would have the ability to say, look, we have to suppress this. If it came out that it was a conspiracy involving the actual Cuban government or the Soviet government, we would have World War III, which is what he said to Senator Richard Russell when he basically appointed him to the Warren Commission without even asking. He just went ahead and put him on the commission, and none of them wanted to do it. None of them wanted to be involved, and they all had their doubts later, as they should. And if you'll notice behind me, bookending my head, or I guess are the 26 volumes of garbage. That's the Warren Commission, 26 volumes of evidence, which has just completely been manipulated by the FBI, courtesy of Lyndon Johnson's neighbor, J. Edgar Hoover. There's so many tentacles to the Kennedy assassination conspiracy. It's very difficult to explain it to anybody in one fell swoop. And it used to be that they came out with multiple theories in the 1970s began to emerge as it was clear, I think, don't kid yourself. The CIA is not resting on their laurels as far as Lee Harvey Oswald goes. They're not going to try to just like let it be, well, that's all there is to it. No, they're going to point their finger elsewhere, which they began to do in the early 1970s when you heard, oh, well, the mafia did it. The mafia killed, which is exactly what the House Assassinations Committee conveniently came out with. It was the elements of the mafia, Carlos Marcello, among others, who were behind it. You heard, it was the Cubans. No, it was the anti-Castro Cubans. No, it was the Soviets, and so forth. And of course, the last one they got to was the CIA. And then Roger Stone came out with his book, finally putting, I think, the blame where it ultimately belonged, which was with Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now, the thing is, you don't have to believe that it was just the anti-Castro Cubans or that it was just the mafia or it was just the CIA. It was all of them. They were all working together. The CIA had involved itself with the mafia through by way of Johnny Roselli, who was conscripted essentially, the contract killers for the mafia, for the CIA domestically were the mafia, and they also involved them in attempts to assassinate Castro, multiple attempts to assassinate Castro. Now, what brings this sort of into focus, I think, is if you go to Bond of Secrecy, which is my friend St. John Hunt's book. His father was E. Howard Hunt, one of the Watergate plumbers, as well as someone who on his deathbed said that he was a bench warmer for the big event, and that he was going to, you know, he fingered named the actual people who were involved, starting with Lyndon Baines Johnson and working his way down. One of those individuals was a guy named William King Harvey. And if you Google him, if you go to Wikipedia, there's a scant record on this man. And ironically and oddly, because he was most likely at the center of the operations team that took out President Kennedy. William King Harvey was, as E. Howard Hunt called him, you know, one of his colleagues, an alcoholic psychopath. He hated the Kennedys. He absolutely detested the Kennedys. He was an alcoholic. He was violent. He would carry a pistol around with him everywhere he went, and he would carry firearms. He actually tried to take one into the Oval Office early in the administration when President Kennedy, he was visiting President Kennedy, and they of course disarmed him. You're not going to get near the president with a pistol. I don't care who you are. Thankfully, the Secret Service at least was on the ball in 61. So at any rate, William King Harvey, Bill Harvey, was in charge of the executive action operations within the Central Intelligence Agency called ZR Rifle. Now, that was where essentially they were trying to assassinate Castro, and they were putting these hit teams together. Well, earlier in the administration, Bobby Kennedy had found out that William King Harvey was assembling sort of an anti-Castro army and was actually going to try to provoke war with Cuba under the guise of the United States. So in other words, he was going to try to start his own war and involve the United States in it. And Bobby Kennedy got wind of this and absolutely blew his stack. King Harvey, Harvey was banished to become, I don't think he was station chief, but he was sent to the Rome station of the CIA. Now, if you believe certain theories, there were Corsican gunmen brought in. And of course, William King Harvey would have had plenty of time when he was the Rome station chief, was involved with Rome, to recruit them. Now, the other element of it is, as I understand it, and as the Bond of Secrecy book says, William King Harvey was also one of only three actual CIA officers who knew about the CIA false defector program. Now, who was one of the false defector? Who defected to the Soviet Union in 1959? But none other than Lee Harvey Oswald. So you have basically William King Harvey connected to two potential ways in which he could have easily just moved Oswald over from the phony defector program right into ZR Rifle. But as a patsy, as someone who was set up, as many people said, Gerald Posner said, and I think Roger Stone's going to debate him next month in Dallas. It'll be very interesting. Posner wrote Case Closed, which is more like Mind Closed. And he likes to say that, you know, Oswald was unstable and he was not reliable. Well, of course he wasn't reliable. They weren't relying on him. They were using him. And he was framed. And it's one of the great injustices of history, I think.
All right, we got to take a break here. That's Tyler Nixon. He's going to be with us the rest of the hour, so don't go anywhere. We got the phone lines open. We'll get to some of your calls as well, and I've got a couple more questions for him. This is The War Room. We'll be right back.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
We've got Tyler Nixon with us. And we are breaking down everything that is the JFK assassination cover-up, the fact that they're not going to release the documents today as they were supposed to. That's just the CIA continuing their cover-up. And it's amazing as we're going through history talking about this that communism used to be so taboo, such, you know, just vile communism is how it used to be looked at in this country. They used that notion against Harvey Lee Oswald, painting him as a communist. My, how far we've come where now people just openly embrace communism. But I want to get back to the JFK documents not being released here with Tyler Nixon. Two things, Tyler. You know, it's amazing to me because, as you said, you probably weren't going to get too much from these files anyway. But that's probably because most of this is off record. Most of what they're trying to cover up happens off record. However, even though that's the case with probably most of this stuff, J. Edgar Hoover, say whatever you want about the man, the fact that he took so many paper records, personally writing letters, writing his own, you know, memos and everything has been so imperative to history that even though they want to try to cover up these official documents and have the Warren Commission as the official story, because J. Edgar Hoover was so obsessed with taking his own paper notes, we can still reference those things and realize that there's something else going on here.
Well, as I understand it, when Hoover was actually, when he died, I don't know if it was Tolson, but they went in and cleared out his entire set of files, you know, all the dirt he had on all the politicians in Washington, who he blackmailed with them with. And absolutely, if we could get access to that, boy, I tell you, I don't think that'll ever see the light of day, because it would expose the truths about everybody, whether they were, you know, colluding with the communists or whether they were framed, you know, made to look that way, whatever the case, all the surveillance of President Kennedy when he was, you know, all his dalliances there. And Hoover was just a blackmailer, and I think, you know, like you said, say what you will of him, he was anti-communist, but then again, he would have had a totalitarian police state in this country if he could have had it, and we were certainly on the way to that. I think that Hoover is one of these figures who, he hated the Kennedys. He hated the Kennedys as much as Johnson did, and just the sort of the rest of the proto deep state that you know, asserted itself on November 22nd, 1963. And he absolutely was willing to go along with whatever was necessary. And you see that at the outset when he literally within 24 hours, not even within hours, actually, of they're picking up Oswald. It was like, you have your man. That's it. You know, don't bother looking any further. And they shut down the investigation. They took it over from the Dallas police, and moves that were unprecedented. And he, of course, took, I think, really sick satisfaction in having to call Attorney General Robert Kennedy to tell him that first his brother was shot, and then calling him back a few minutes later to tell him his brother was dead.
Well, it's incredible. Like you said, I'm not glorifying J. Edgar Hoover. Say what you want about him, but he did take paper records and notes like a fiend. Actually, reading Hoover's papers was kind of the first thing I did when I first got interested in politics. It was incredible stuff, like, you know, Hitler escaping into South America. People used to thought I was crazy. I would raise a fuss about that. Oh, and then it gets discovered. Oh, we found a trove of Nazi relics in South America and Argentina. Oh, wow, that was in the Hoover papers, just like everything else. So. It's
so
really
you actually
incredible.
Read, I'm sorry to interrupt, you actually read the original, like the papers themselves?
Or yes. Is there a yes.
Okay, wow. Oh, mm-hmm. that's a dissent. Now what, where did you find those? I'm curious.
The FBI archives. They're all in the FBI archives. Yeah.
So, the thing.
Yeah, people are shocked, but they're there.
Yeah, no kidding. No, he was he left a paper trail for sure, because he had such a tight grip on the FBI. He was the absolute authority. It wasn't like he was worried about anybody releasing or, you know, going behind his back. He was the one organization, I'm sure the CIA wishes, well, inherently they can't run it like the FBI did. But what Hoover said was law at the FBI back then, so he could write anything he wanted. And as you said, I mean, I think definitely just the fact of George Bush of the CIA, the fact that Bush denies this alone is ridiculous. It's totally absurd. I mean, he was absolutely up to his neck in these types of operations in the early 60s, in the anti-Castro, anti-communist operations. And I mean, literally, you've heard the story of the naming of the boats that they used for the initial invasion, where the Zapata, the Barbara, and the Houston. I mean, you know, could you get possibly any closer to George H.W. Bush? And, you know, just it'd be better that he admitted it and said, look, yes, I was involved with this. I mean, then lie, because when you lie and it's such an obvious record of it, it really just discredits him. But that's fine, because he deserves to be discredited. And he's one of the great, it's one of the great malpractices of history, just as Oswald is framed for the assassination of President Kennedy. The fact that George H.W. Bush has gotten away with murder in so many cases. I mean, it's crazy what he's gotten away with. And obviously, well, now he thinks he can get away with groping women.
Well, but so, no, I was just going to say, though, Tyler. I was just going to say, though, Tyler, you know, maybe he's turned a new leaf. I mean, he admitted and he apologized for sexually assaulting that girl.
Yeah, that's right. He can apologize for grabbing a woman, but killing the president, that's he's not going to come clean on that. But now the Bushes are such nefarious characters. And I'll be honest with you, I met George W. Bush, and I was on board with his campaign in 2000. Originally, I was on board with McCain. It's like, boy, what were you thinking back then? I guess it's kind of where
well, it was a lack of options, unfortunately, I think.
Yeah, totally. But. No, totally. I mean, I now that I think back, I'm wondering who, Ron Paul wasn't really around too much then. But anyway, great. George W. Bush is one of the nicest men you'd ever want to meet. I mean, he's a very affable, great politician, despite his sort of goofy delivery and stumbling while he was president. He was a very polished and amazing politician, retail politician in person. So I can see how he actually won. But, you know, when you think of what they're – it's with George W. Bush, I think it's about more who he empowered than the man himself. I think George W. Bush, beneath the layers of sort of, you know, his daddy issues and whatever, is an actual, you know, he has a heart beneath it all. But, you know, when you empower the dark overlord of Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, who was a huge disappointment to me, Rumsfeld. I worked in the Bush-Cheney transition directly with Donald Rumsfeld, Mel Martinez, and Christy Todd Whitman. I drove Rumsfeld's credentials over to Howard Baker, former senator, the late Howard Baker, to pass along to the Armed Services Committee for his confirmation as defense secretary. After everything that's been revealed about 9/11 and the, you know, our invasions into the Middle East, I lost such respect for that whole crew. And, you know, I knew what neoconservatives were, but I felt as though that, you know, communism, as well as the dangers that we faced with the growing, the rise of Islamic fundamentalism in the Middle East, you know, I was sort of on board with not interventionism per se, but certainly with our looking out for our interests abroad. But they have taken it so far with the military industrial complex. That's really what it's all about. It's about they're making money. They're same as Lyndon Johnson, frankly. You know, all roads lead back to Texas, to defense contracts, to the money, to the billions of dollars that were involved in our launching a war on a false pretext in Vietnam. And, you know, it still survives to this day. And that's why JFK's death is so very important in our history, because we've never rid ourselves of this continuum of the deep state. And we see them trying to ballsy enough, excuse me for that expression, to try to take out President Trump. I mean, that's exactly what they're trying to do. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the manipulations involved. And I think, frankly, that, you know, the Clintons sold their souls to the CIA early on. Bill Clinton, when he was at Oxford, Hillary Clinton, I'm sure she just went along with it. So, you know, let's not kid ourselves that they have no love for President Trump. He's a threat to them, if only because he's an outsider and because he's a wild card. He may not be willing to go along. And I'm sure this has been another shot across the bow to them. And that's why we see the delay now happening, where we're going to have to wait another day outside of the statutory limits to see the final release, the final tranche of documents that in the Kennedy assassination. But again, they'll have been scrubbed. They'll have been scrubbed clean. And I think really they're just going over them again because they don't have enough experts in the company to actually know what might be a bombshell revelation in those. So they have to probably, you know, they're probably bringing people in saying, what do we need to look for here?
Yeah, it should shock no one that Bill Clinton would be in cahoots with the Cocaine Intelligence Agency. And let's not forget that George H.W. Bush was the vice president when Ronald Reagan was shot. So that's just another little feather to put in that cap. Yeah. All right. We got another segment here. We got to take a break now, but we're going to take a couple of your phone calls on the other side. We'll get into a little other stuff with Tyler Nixon as well. We'll just go down a different track here. This is The War Room. They're delaying the release of the JFK files again. You know why, folks. They cannot let the American people know the truth that the deep state has been in control for more than 50 years. And Trump is the biggest thing we've had, blocking them from controlling power. Well, you may have noticed I'm not wearing my typical attire of the button-up and the tie. I've got a new T-shirt on. This is about to be on InfoWarsStore.com. We're actually debuting this a little bit early. This is the real anti-fascist, anti-communist shirt, because we are the real anti-fascist, anti-communist at InfoWars.com. I know Tyler was asking me about that in the break, and, you know, we just...
Yeah, where's my shirt, damn it?
We just realized that, you know, we're the real anti-fascists. We can't have Antifa just claiming that they're the only anti-fascists out there. In fact, they're fascists.
Well, I want to say, I want to give a shout to you, Owen. I got sucked into sort of a social justice warrior YouTube binge, I guess, just watching the compilation, the fail compilations of the SJWs. And I got to tell you, let me just say to the InfoWars audience out there, Owen Schroyer is a courageous, ballsy guy. Let me tell you, because I, first of all, just dealing with stupidity on that level in mass is almost scary. The fact that they, the fact though that they, I mean, you know, they're antagonistic. They're willing to be violent. You certainly had, you know, your Antifa people there. I'm surprised you didn't get assaulted at some, I mean, you did. I remember a couple instances where you got slapped or whatever, but I'm surprised you didn't actually get like, you know, seriously assaulted. And you know why it is because ultimately they're cowards. That's really what it comes down to. And, you know, people talk about this this November 4th date and they're planning civil war and so forth. Let me tell you something. They will be slaughtered. They would be slaughtered because there are so many of us out here who are just hardworking, everyday Americans who are certainly armed, and we are not going to take crap from these people. We're not going to be pushed around or certainly taken over by any sort of communist element within our country. And I think when you see these marches, that's about the extent of it. There's no deep sort of like silent majority kind of thing going on beneath the surface to support Antifa and their antics and their idiocy. They're a bunch of hooligans and thugs, and I don't want to see anybody get harmed, but I'd like to see them try something, and you know, we can dispatch them for once and for all, you know.
Well, it's you know, the crazy thing about it is this isn't like, I mean, these people are easy to identify. The police have started to do some things to try to, you know, calm them down. They can't wear their masks anymore, but they're, you know, they're going to continue to try to do their thing. This is kind of all they have, unfortunately. And actually, Tyler's volunteered to stick around with us later into the third hour. So actually what we're going to be doing here, Tyler, if you do want to stick around with our guest, we're actually going to break some news about the November 4th Antifa protest. So we'll sit on that for a second.
Outstanding.
Let's go to the phone lines now, though. We've got some callers that want to talk about the JFK file. So let's go to Don in Seattle. You're on the air with Tyler Nixon. Go ahead.
I didn't think they were going to let this stuff out, the implicates, Bush and everybody else, which they don't want to let out. But also, can you relieve my mind a little bit, the DOD thing going on? I worry about it because on the dates, number one, 4th through the 6th, and also because of the fact that it wants to hook up with radio, amateur radio people.
All right, I just want to, Don, I gotta stop you. I got to pause because I just got to clear this up with the audience. So Don is now breaking the story that I wanted to break in the third hour. Thanks a lot, Don. But what Don is referring to here, DOD exercise to simulate nationwide power blackout from solar storm during the alleged Antifa protests in November. And the exact story he's talking about comes from the amateur radio community set, where they say the DOD will conduct communications interoperability training exercise November 4th through 6th. Once again, simulating a very bad day scenario, amateur radio and Mars organizations will take part. So, yeah, that's another interesting ripple to this November 4th deal. We're going to get more that on the other side with Alistair Williamson, who broke that story. But, yeah, what we know is they try to do drills when stuff like this goes on. That happened on 9/11. It happened during the Boston Marathon bombing. So there's always these drills. I don't know if that's there for a reason or there as to kind of make the people who would be responding, you know, it's like a psychological thing with, oh, this is just a drill. But, I don't know. So we're going to break that down on the other side. Tyler, what do you think?
Well, you remember even 7/7, the bombings that happened in London and in the UK, and literally they were running the exact same exercise at the exact same stations that were blown up or where the incidents happened. And, you know, that was captured on the air when someone who was involved with it, I guess, hadn't gotten word yet. And he went on a local a station and said, you know, I was shocked when I saw where these actual bombings had occurred because we had had exercises going on at those exact places, you know, targeting those exact locations. Yeah, it's kind of scary when they start running operations like this and 9/11 as well, everything that was going on with FEMA showing up the next day, you know, scheduled to be there right in New York City the next morning. It is kind of scary when you see something like this with this type of event that it's scheduled. And I don't know. I can't imagine they would black out the entire country, but you just never know what pretext is going on. I think we've got elements within our government. Some are good and some are bad. I think it's an ultimate struggle against good against evil. And we just have to hope that good is going to be always one step ahead, that we're honing our game just as they're honing theirs. You know, the ones who would install an autocratic, truly fascist police state on us, you know, and wipe out Americans.
Yeah, and you can I can never assume coincidence when covering these things. Hey, thank you for the call, Don. Don in the belly of the beast out there in Seattle. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Dustin in Florida. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, I was calling about the JFK and also the Antifa. Well, JFK is interesting because, you know, it's very similar to Donald Trump. He wants to lower taxes. JFK wanted to use the gold standard. JFK got us to the moon and the decision to go to the moon and Mars and the Kennedy Space Center and, them releasing documents unredacted is like saying they're going to release the 9/11, the 28 pages. Mm. You know, the truth is basically there for people in plain sight, but it just depends on your logic, your common sense, and your discernment. But the blackout situation with the Antifa is very interesting. And I don't think, we have a lot of war scenarios going around the whole planet right now.
And we're going to have news on that as well. I've got some news on that, some pretty weird stuff coming on about that. Yeah, that is interesting, though. The point, Dustin makes some fair comparisons between Trump and JFK. But yeah, I can't remember the exact words, Tyler, but I do believe Trump has referenced the 28 pages before.
I hadn't heard that, but I'll tell you what, the night Trump got elected, I honestly, there's been no president who I literally thought they're going to assassinate him, and he's as much like JFK as any president I've seen. Not because he has the style of JFK or that, you know, he's like him as an individual or his personality, but because he represents very similarly what JFK did, which is that he's his own man, he's independently wealthy, and that they don't know what he's going to do, and he clearly is not going to take crap from them. And I seriously fear his assassination to this day. That they would try. I think what you're seeing is an attempt to assassinate him politically, as they did with Richard Nixon.
Character assassination, and you know, maybe if they can get that so ingrained, and they assassinate him, you get the left. Literally, the left would. No. This is actually messed up.
Oh no,
they would celebrate. I was just going to say that they would actually be on the streets celebrating. Wow, that is sick stuff. All right, let's take one more call here. We've got Tyler Nixon on the air with us. Let's go to Scott in Florida. Go ahead, Scott.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, you guys, thanks for the great show. My question was on Lee Harvey Oswald. If he, you know, was such a tool and did this by himself, I mean, what's the connection with Jack Ruby and how that happened so fast after that? Do you think there was anything to that?
Tyler, I'm going to let you answer that one. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, there's multiple witnesses who put Ruby and Oswald together as having, you know, worked together. Ruby has quite a spotty background. First of all, his real name is Jacob Rubenstein. And as Roger Stone obviously might have reported, I think I heard him talk about it yesterday, he was not only working with the government and was loaned from Lyndon Johnson to Richard Nixon's office. He's listed in a 1949, I think it is, 48 House of Representatives Un-American Activities Committee roster, Jacob Rubenstein, you know, an informant, somebody like that. He was absolutely connected to Carlos Marcello, to the mafia. And guess what? So was Lee Harvey Oswald. So ironically, it was a very tight little knit group. You look at David Ferry, who was Marcello's pilot, was in the what they call the Civil Air Patrol with Lee Harvey Oswald. And Lee Harvey Oswald was a teenager. Lee Harvey Oswald grew up in New Orleans, where, I mean, his father was a bookie, essentially. And, you know, he was absolutely connected to it. And, you know, I think it was basically with Jack Ruby. It was like, Jack, look, you got to do this for us, baby, or it's your own hide. And he.
All right, that's Tyler Nixon. We're going to break now, but don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to have more on the other side.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at
at Infowars.com/show.
Donald Trump said on this video that he likes...
So I think we're going to get this song going. Who's got the guitar?
What do we
Pepe's
say?
Got the guitar. Well, we're going to sing.
Got the guitar.
So I'll explain to everybody what we're about to do. A few months ago, Super Deluxe put out a song where this guy, Nick Lutzko, wrote a folk tune taking Alex Jones' actual speeches and putting them together as music lyrics. And it blew up the internet. It was really big. So instead of going, oh, he heard us, we go, hey, we're going to have a contest to let everybody do their version. We're going to give away a $10,000 prize and two $5,000 prizes. Well, the group behind me, Sergeant Pepe Spicy Meme Club Band, that's the name of it. They won the best location, which one of their locations was here in Times Square and all around. Yeah, so we're actually going to recreate that event where they recorded. We got people gathering around. It's going to be good. And I'm going to sing along, too, because I know the lyrics.
All right.
And from here on out, we're going to call this song Swamp Creatures, because that's what we're singing about, right? We're singing about the swamp creature.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murdering scum that were trying death factories, eating babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, "We love Satan, we want to eat babies."
Cooking.
She sleeps in the same room with a creepy weirdo woman whose mother wears a hood over her head. What the hell? That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I've told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
That's Rob Dew in the streets of New York City. I gotta tell you, I think Rob Dew enjoyed that just a little too much. We'll be right back with more of The War Room.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is The War Room.
All right, we still got Tyler Nixon with us, and we're also now joined by Alistair Williamson of StockboardAsset.com. Sometimes you'll see him featured on Zero Hedge. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the November 4th communist uprising that's been planned, and then we're going to talk about a DOD drill that's supposed to go down. Let me just give you some framework before we fill in this picture for you. First, you've got Antifa openly saying how November 4th is going to be their day of resistance. They're going to do mass protests, mass rioting. Okay. I think in some aspects we have to take them at their word because this is Antifa. They've been protesting a lot and they do get violent. I mean, they burned down Berkeley. So, you know, who knows what these people are actually capable of. Then, in a twist of fate, Newsweek comes out and says that it's all fake news. Antifa waging civil war on November 4th, according to right-wing conspiracy. No, we report on what we see. So Antifa plans November 4th uprising. InfoWars reports on it. Newsweek says we made it up. And then Dan Lyman from NewsWars, another outlet of InfoWars, basically covering how they're blaming it on us, even though we're just reporting on them wanting to do it. So there's that angle that we'll get into. Then, this broke on InfoWars on October 24th. Alistair Williamson covered it as well on his website. DOD exercise to simulate national power grid collapse on Antifa Day of Rage. And then you can go to the website that's on the amateur radio site that has the official announcement there. So, Alistair, when you found this, obviously you've been covering this, Antifa violence being planned and everything, but then we see that this drill is supposed to take place during the same time Antifa's violence is planned, and people who understand history know that drills and events like this coincidentally seem to happen at the same time. So, you know, what were you thinking when you found this, and do you think that this is significant?
Owen, thanks for having me on. I think it's very significant. And what we see here, and let's take a step back and just understand what I've covered and some of that has gone on Zero Hedge this year. We've covered a lot about geomagnetic storms, solar flares. We've had tons of articles that have gotten out to hundreds of thousands of people. You know, back in April, we were talking about how San Francisco and other cities in California, along with New York, had a total grid failure. These substations were blown out. But what the mainstream told everyone, they said it was Russia. But what we saw was that NASA and other agencies were telling us that there was a geomagnetic storm that knocked out the power grid. You had land and air-based systems go out. You had communication networks go out. Districts go out. So it's a very serious understanding here that these geomagnetic storms, these corona mass ejections, are very serious. It's so serious that the Obama administration snuck in an executive order in the fourth quarter of 2016, and it was titled, I have it right here, Coordinating Efforts to Prepare the Nation for a Space Weather Event. And what I was writing in this article that I released this morning is that it's very interesting that we see this Antifa group along with a drill. And as you said, Owen, some of these drills become live. Now, we're not calling for some type of event to spiral out of control on November 4th, or we just don't even know. All we're saying and what we're thinking is that in the future, because these geomagnetic storms are getting more powerful, if you do have a total grid failure and you do have protesters or Antifa or these community organized groups who are paid for by the Ford Foundation, by the Kellogg Foundation, by the Soros Foundation, out in the streets when you have a grid failure, when there's no power, it could lead to a perfect storm. That's the point.
I got
to
stop you right there. Wasn't it you also that broke the UN vehicles at, wasn't it a Kellogg plant?
So, yes, and we have the aerial footage to show that a lot of the stuff.
Okay, I just want to leave that right there. I don't want to go into detail because I want to go actually deeper into this potential storm. You're talking about a geostorm. Now, let's recall, For years, George Norrie had been urging the United States government to isolate its power grid. So in an event like this, an EMP perhaps, whether it be a war event or something, you know, a geostorm or a solar flare or something, so the grid wouldn't shut down. Why is it that we're, I want to hear from both of you. Why do you think we're preparing drills or preparing to react to this instead of actually taking a proactive stance and isolating our power grid? Let's start with Alistair. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, we got to back up and just understand we've spent trillions of dollars over the years, decades. Even Jack Ma from Alibaba said this, that America wasted our money, our infrastructure money, on foreign wars. So our infrastructure is at a very critical level when it comes to just understanding, if you want to rate it, it's a D-. So we're on the fringe. If you want to understand where we are as far as a report card, it's a D-. And we're living on the fringe. So what that means is basically any type of event, if it happens to be a geomagnetic storm or anything of that sort, or even an EMP, you can easily destabilize the United States very easily. So it's time that we kind of bring awareness to the fact that we are living on the edge when it comes to our infrastructure. And let's not ignore what's happening from the sun. Let's not ignore that it's not, it may not even be the sun. It could be North Korea. This right. geomagnetic, go ahead, sorry.
Well, yeah, I was going to say exactly. It could be an act of war or it could be a natural thing. But I'm just curious, you know, what do you think about this, Tyler? Is this something where you think that the U.S. again is going to plan to be reactive if something like this happened and that's why they're doing drills? Or do you think this is a drill that could potentially even go live? And why don't you think they're ever proactive about isolating our power grid?
Well, my old boss, Newt Gingrich, was one of the first politicians to bring this to the fore as an issue, the vulnerability of our electrical grid to any type of electromagnetic pulse, whether it be from coronal ejection or a nuke 20 miles above the United States, which could devastate us. I mean, it's just it's such a vulnerability. Yet it's also so ubiquitous. There's almost no way to prevent it, except for the, well, you can try to shield the power grid itself, but you think of all the devices and objects that run on, that have sensitive circuits in them, from your phone to any sort of microcomputer to anything that runs, say, a gas station. Our entire society is based on cashless transactions, effectively, at this point. If you couldn't get money out, you can't buy food, you can't even pump gas out of the ground. It would be, I mean, it would, things would unravel very quickly. As far as the November 4th event, I find it very odd, and Alistair put his finger on it, that they would have, at the same time as this group has been planning this nationwide, whatever, mass civil unrest or whatever it is they're planning, that they would also coordinate, you know, exercises to respond to, you know, an event that would involve the shutdown of the power grid. Because again, the confluence of those two things would be very convenient if you wanted to really start some major problems and create major problems within our country.
Yeah, bingo. I think that that's it. And that's what Alistair was hinting at earlier. If we already know what would happen, you know, just, I mean, you see what happens when someone gets denied their food stamp card. They literally throw a riot in the store. So you couldn't imagine. I mean, imagine if you had an event where Antifa really did go full-fledged. They had all these people out on the streets, and then magically the power grid goes down while they're already in the midst of their riot, all hopped up on their adrenaline. Alistair, I don't think a drill, a live drill, would do anything to prevent that.
You know what's really interesting? I'm looking at the article that I wrote here, and already there's 33,000 shares on Facebook for this resist fascism group or this resist racism group. So a lot of individuals know about it, and to your point about some drills going live, this is the perfect storm. Now, it may or may not happen. We don't have a crystal ball to what's going to occur early November, but what we can say for future events, this is the perfect storm.
I'm glad you said that. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back with more, but I'm glad you said that, and I hinted at this earlier. The fact that now they're coming out and they're saying that we made this up, this is a conspiracy theory, it all started on InfoWars, that's ultimate victory. They can't do it now, because if they do it, we're proven right again. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We've got Tyler Nixon and Alistair Williamson with us for one more segment. We've got the DOD talking about a drill on the weekend, the same weekend that Antifa was planning violence, and they are talking about perhaps a serious problem with our power grid. Does this mean the government is finally taking protecting our power grid seriously, or is this some sort of drill distraction while Antifa was planning on doing their violence? We'll get their assessment of that, but also, I feel like just us reporting on this and then them calling us conspiracy theorists tells me that by us getting ahead of this, we can perhaps even thwart their planned violence that day because they can't have us be right again. That's one thing they hate just as much as anything. Let's start with Alistair. What do you think about all this?
I want to just take a step back and look, and on the subject about being a conspiracy theorist, take a step back and understand I'm holding the executive order from the Obama administration. And what it says is that this country is preparing for a space weather event, a mass corona ejection, some type of solar flare that's going to knock out critical infrastructure. This is fact. And what's very unfortunate is that the mainstream media has not allowed the American people to understand how vulnerable our economy is, or how vulnerable our country is. And we are on the verge. And just couple that with the executive order, couple that with the drills and the exercises that our DOD, the Army, and the Air Force are going to do in the next week or so. This is fact. You can't hide from it. And it's very unfortunate that the American people are not allowed to be told or know the truth of what's happening with our sun and how critical our economy is, because, as Mr. Nixon said, we can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about the sun. We can't. It's very hard at this stage to protect our systems, or air systems, land systems, any kind of system from the sun. And it's a perfect cocktail of these proxy armies that are funded by the Soros, Kellogg, and Soros foundations to wreak havoc throughout the country during a geomagnetic storm. It's a perfect storm.
Tyler, do you think that Antifa will go through that weekend with their planned marches, or do you think they will be intimidated out of it? Or another angle, do you think the government is actually finally taking the steps to either try to isolate our power grid or do something proactive about a weather storm?
Antifa's been planning this, as I understand it, since early August at the very soonest. And so they're going to go through with their plans. I have no doubt about that. I would like to think that our government is doing what it should, but these types of exercises are frankly drops in the bucket compared to what measures need to be taken to protect the power grid at minimum from the devastating effects of any type of electromagnetic pulse, including a coronal ejection, which we can never predict. And then you look at the possibility of a false flag type of event where, you know, the sort of the globalists want to just take down the United States. Well, oh, we had a coronal ejection, whereas it, and in fact, could have be a nuclear device that they detonated over the United States or over certain areas. It could be a reason, if you believe that they are, you know, think that Antifa is a terrorist group or is a disruptive group, it could be the pretext to maybe slaughter a bunch of them in the street. Frankly, I hate to be grim about it, but you know, you can combine an exercise with this, like this, and the power does go out and they start running wild. Hey, that's a reason to just to just liquidate them. I don't know. There's so many possible scenarios. I do know this though, this possible event is the one that keeps me up at night almost more than, a nuclear event in a city. It'd be limited, but this could take out the entire infrastructure of the United States, like overnight, or not even overnight, instantly, in seconds.
And this is right on the heels of the anniversary of the election of Donald Trump. I mean, let's keep that in mind, too. We know that, these kind of things are significant, especially when you're dealing with people that hate Trump. They would love to do something right before the year anniversary of President Trump. But what about you, Alistair? I mean, do you think they're going to go through with this? I mean, they've been planning this since August. We just showed the article there. This is something they've been planning since August. Are they going to prove InfoWars right? Are they going to show their true colors, and are they going to protest?
One piece of evidence that I think that could very well be possible as Antifa's out in the street is on the website of Refuse fascism.org. There's more than 33,000 shares on Facebook. That gives us a sense that a lot of individuals out there, so a lot of impressions and engagements on the post that the refusefascism.org site did, it got out to a lot of people. The question is, are many people going to act on that? I've been in these riots from Baltimore to Detroit, across the East Coast, or up and down the East Coast, and I've seen Antifa's true colors. Now, we have known that Antifa kind of died off a little bit this year, came back, and the question is, we've heard a lot of, actually, excuse me, there's been a lot of silence with Antifa recently. Are they going, is this going to be the big push? That's what we need to understand. Is there going to be a major push against the Trump-Pence White House now with Antifa, and then couple that with a geomagnetic storm that could be a terrible, terrible bad day?
If they do go through with this, Tyler, and this is a group that's clearly anti-Trump, and honestly, in past, you can see that they're anti-free speech, but what can the president even do about these people?
Well, here's the thing is I've watched, I remember in D.C., the Million Man March back in, I think it was 1999. It was led by Louis Farrakhan. And that was a huge gathering. The civil rights marches back in the day were gathering. I've never seen any type of event that was matched, an Antifa event where they got, you know, crazy Berkeley, where their violence was matched by numbers, sheer numbers. In other words, I don't think they have the forces to literally come out and try anything specific. I think they keep pushing for these marches because they can't get more people there. And you've been to them in person, Owen. I mean, did you ever see any kind of like, oh my God, this is like the Arab Spring or something? You didn't see those kinds of numbers, and they don't have those kinds of numbers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the most violent thing, as you said, is probably, you know, when they got to Berkeley or when there's a speaker in town that they get so fired up, they literally will burn stuff. Although, in Washington, D.C., over the weekend of Trump's inauguration, they got pretty violent there. They were burning limos, smashing windows. But yeah, if they coordinated this all combined,
pretty much, you know, that was the crescendo of their anger.
That's right. So it'll be interesting to see if they step it up, or perhaps maybe they can finally grow up and maybe get a job, and then they wouldn't have time to protest. Hey, Tyler Nixon, great stuff always. Thanks for joining us today. Final words from Alistair.
Thank you.
His website, Stockboard Asset. I know you had exclusive footage on the Trump prototype walls at the border. The opioid crisis is a continuing and ongoing situation. You've been all over that. Final 40 seconds here. What are you working on right now?
So we just got back from Trump's prototype wall. We were there for about 5 days. We were on the Tijuana side, Mexico. It was one heck of a sight to see, to be up in person and close to Trump's walls from Mexico. It would scare the hell out of me if I was a Mexican citizen looking at those walls. We also had our UAV out and had some fantastic footage. Now, we went into Mexico to capture the other side, and why the media won't show the other side. It's a war-torn, drug-infested country that if you would.
Well, MSNBC found it out live on air. They were shooting the report and someone hopped the fence. The first time MSNBC has ever reported on illegal immigration. Thanks for joining us.
If you want the future, you must fight for it.
This
is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
You know what? It's Hillary Clinton's birthday. So I'm going to have this celebratory cigar here because she's not president. ninety-seven percent, 98%. Oh, it's over for Hillary. She'll be president. That's nice. Here you go, though. Remember this. Let's rewind the clocks back. Hillary Clinton says that she's so far ahead in polls that she doesn't even think about Donald Trump anymore. Look at that. This was a year ago. Hillary Clinton doesn't even think about Donald Trump anymore because she's so far ahead in polls. Well, we fast forward a year. Now Hillary Clinton is so in deep of legal trouble, I don't think that she can even think about President Trump anymore, except the fact that President Trump might actually be the president when she finally goes to jail. So let's get through the stack of Hillary news and then to get some audio clips here. Collusion discovered. DNC, Hillary, Comey, FBI, all financed anti-Trump Fusion GPS dossier. And then it comes out that that's actually illegal. Illegal. That's right. That's illegal. So we'll have more on that in just a second here. But they all caught. They're all implicated in this deal. And then here is the double standard. Why doesn't Hillary's dossier trick count as treason? It's clear collusion just in the dossier itself. Then you've got the Uranium One deal with Hillary Clinton and then her foundation receiving kickbacks, President Clinton getting paid speeches, former President Bill Clinton, that is. So the left, the liberal media, the Democrats were all freaking out, all calling treason, all calling for impeachment. No, nothing on Trump, literally zero. They still can't produce zero. But now the entire bag of Russian collusion has been emptied on Hillary Clinton, and the calls for treason, the calls for arrest, the calls for anything are completely silent because that is the double standard of a liberal, of the left. Yeah, here it is again. Hillary so far ahead in polls, she doesn't even think about Trump anymore. Right now, she's thinking about probably escaping the country so you don't have to go to jail. Hey, this is really indicative of how the news works. Julian Assange tweets this today. Everyone is now talking about Hillary Clinton and the Uranium One bribery investigation. I first wrote about Uranium One on October 7th, 2016, but the NBC, Washington Post, liberal media moved the Trump P-tape release forward by 3 days, burying the development of the story. And if you think about it, that actually makes sense. It actually all makes sense that that's how they, first of all, we know that that's how they work, and that's why we're expecting a new fake news story to drop soon to try to distract from Hillary Clinton's treason. But that's what they do. So they already had the tape plan released to be the October surprise against Trump. Then they had to move it forward because Julian Assange reported the treason that Hillary Clinton was guilty of, and we all know it's true. So just get ready, folks. They're gonna have some new fake news story to try to distract from this. Oh, here you go. Tell me if you've heard this before. Hillary Clinton claims that she did not know about the Trump dossier. DNC chair Tom Perez, he just learned about it too. They had no idea. So if you do believe that, obviously they're total liars. They knew about it. They planned the whole thing. But let's just say they're telling the truth and they didn't know. That shows you how incompetent they are, even though that's a lie. Let's assume it's true. Tom Perez and Hillary Clinton are that incompetent that they didn't know about it. Of course, Hillary Clinton could be in that competent. She had illegal private email servers. But let's go to clip one where we have someone on the inside refuting that claim that Hillary Clinton did not know.
Just to be clear, Brian, you have said previously in the last 24 hours, you don't believe Hillary Clinton knew about this either. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't
know.
Asked.
Oh.
I haven't spoken to her. No.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
Shouldn't she know? Shouldn't you, someone so high up in the campaign, be informed of this?
Well, I mean, she may have known, but the degree of exactly what she knew is beyond my knowledge. For instance, like, it could have been that a decision was made to authorize Perkins Coie to do commission some kind of research, but then decisions about, going out and finding Fusion GPS, finding Christopher Steele. I mean, she may or may not have been aware of that level of detail. I don't know.
Don't you love that? So I don't know. this CNN host, like, has a little bit of reasoning and logic behind her. She's like, wait a second. You know, these people are ahead of the DNC. This is Hillary Clinton. How could she not have known this? I mean, she can't be that incompetent, right? And so then this guy's put on the spot and he's like, okay, she's not that incompetent. She may have known after all. Oh, but that means that she's guilty. I just love it when you're holding the grenade and it blows up in your hand. James Clapper, the ultimate liar, says it doesn't matter who paid for the Trump dossier. Au contraire, Mr. Clapper. Au contraire. In fact, the FEC came out and said because it was Clinton, because it was the FBI, and because it was the DNC, in fact, that is illegal. But James Clapper knows that. He's just covering his own hide. So yes, it does matter who paid for the Trump dossier because the fact that it was Clinton, Comey, and the DNC means that it's illegal and that they're guilty. And we'll get right back to that. And then Tom Cotton says, you can't give any credibility to the Trump dossier. And there's a really convoluted connection here with Fusion GPS, with the fact that the DNC is not releasing how they got hacked because of CrowdStrike. And then they all basically are working together. And then there's another entity in this, Renat Akhmestin, who is talking about how they were lobbying. And there were people at this meeting that created the fake dossier that have still not been named. So you're going to continue to see that break, and the liberal media and the Clinton media will certainly try to force some sort of fake news out there. However, this is Greg Jarrett on Sean Hannity last night saying something that we all hope comes true.
How many crimes?
13 potential crimes committed by Hillary Clinton. She could be charged for 6 anti-corruption statutes. They're all felonies. She could also be charged with racketeering for using her charity as a criminal enterprise. And then you've got all of the email crimes, 2 of them under the Espionage Act and 2 additional. And now this latest dossier information, you can't pay a foreign national relative to a political campaign, and it appears she also and the DNC hid it in their disclosure reports, which could also be criminally charged.
But everything that they have been reporting is true, that they have documents, emails, tapes, and that millions of dollars, and he knows, and he was there. He was 4 years inside this, and they knew in 2009. Are people going to jail this time? Is this it?
I would suspect so, and people...
And the kickbacks to the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation...
Somebody's got to go to jail over this, and not just the one who's been convicted and
clammed up. Who are the top people that are in jeopardy?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton, anybody at the DNC.
Eric Holder?
James Comey in particular, because, you know, he may have abused his office, and he could have done it for...
Mueller? Mueller knew.
No, covering it up to cry to Congress.
He should recuse himself. He should have recused
his duty. He should recuse himself.
Same with Rosenstein.
Absolutely. And Jeff Sessions needs to get off his duff and appoint a special counsel to investigate.
Immediately.
Hillary Clinton, yes. Comey, Loretta Lynch.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Absolutely. You know, I tried to get Hillary supporters or people that still think it was Trump colluding with Russia to call in the other day. Nothing. They've got nothing. But you just heard it from Greg Jarrett. At least 13 crimes, 6 felonies, including racketeering, espionage crimes, illegal crimes that the FEC has now admitted she broke the law. And you know what this all equals, folks? Treason. Hillary Clinton is treasonous. She needs to be locked away and throw away the key. In fact, why don't we just build a big hole in the ground and just shove her in there and do like the Spartan technique? This is Sparta. This is America. You're guilty of treason. Let's kick Hillary Clinton into a hole on her birthday. All right, this is actually insane. Newsweek, one of the fakest news sources out there, publishes this story today. Trump interested in Seth Rich conspiracy, new report says. Holy smokes. Holy smokes if that's true. Wow. Remember Seth Rich, folks. Wow. Trump interested in Seth Rich conspiracy. Trump interested in JFK cover-up. I mean, there's some other interests Trump has dating back years, but we'll just leave that right there. Holy smokes. Trump interested in Seth Rich conspiracy? Again, I don't trust fake Newsweek at all, but I don't know why they would be publishing this if it wasn't true and they weren't trying to smear President Trump with it. We know that that's all they do, so... Okay, so apparently this is a Cassandra Fairbanks original report. Thank you, crew, so much for being on top of that. That's something incredible. I hope that that's true about Trump. Now, here's something about Trump that I have to completely disagree with, if true. So first you've got, you know, the U.S.-South Korea war games keep going. North Korea says stop doing war games.
Then they say, take our hydrogen bomb threat literally. So they want us to take their bomb threats literally, but they also want us to stop reacting to them and stop holding joint drills with South Korea. So who knows what that means? Really, it probably just means building towards war. And so the U.S. has sent a third aircraft carrier in the North Korea area in another war game move. Now, here was President Trump talking about potentially visiting the Korean demilitarized zone.
Well, I'd rather not say, but you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised.
Okay, so you'll be surprised as Trump hits at a possible DMZ visit. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Terrible move. Whoever is advising him to do this, what are you thinking? I don't see how there's any victory in going to the DMZ. That just seems like a battle you cannot win. All right, let's go to these clips now. Creepy Joe Biden is now teaming up with Lady Gaga, a spirit cooker who hangs out with Harvey Weinstein, to stop sexual assault. Let's go to this Creepy Joe real quick.
Gaga is not only a great friend, but a fierce advocate.
Oh, my God.
Lady Gaga has been the voice for people who have been forgotten and people have been abused until it happens to you.
She hangs out with Harvey Weinstein.
And she's shown enormous courage. And we want to make it real clear. It's on us. It's on everyone to intervene, to stop abuse when they see it and when they hear about it, to intervene. It's no man has a
right. Okay, you want to stop it then? Stop it right there. I can't take any more of this creep. However, I agree. When you see sexual assault, when you see sexual abuse, you're right. You should call it out. You should report it. So I'm going to go ahead and actually, I'm going to follow Joe Biden's words right now. Joe Biden is a sexual assaultant. Joe Biden is a creeper. And I've got the videos to prove it. So let's just go ahead. You've seen it before. Joe Biden wants us to call out sexual assaultants. Joe Biden wants us to speak up for people who get abused by bullies like Joe Biden. So I'm going to do it right now. Joe Biden is a creep, and here's a compilation of him creeping on young women and others.
Are you bored yet?
You say
what the hell is that?
See, right.
Hold on, just pause it right there again. So I just want to make this clear. Just pause it right there. Or just let it roll as B-roll. Just let it roll. So Joe Biden, we literally have hours of... Look at this. Look at what he's doing to this young girl. What in the hell is that, man? What in the hell is that? What in the hell? So Joe Biden, say whatever words you want to describe this man, who literally is the most creepy person when young girls come to the White House. He gropes them, he rubs them, he says things in their ear. He's a disgusting, sick creature, Joe Biden is. And I'm not just making this up. We have the video evidence rolling alongside me right now. Creepy Uncle Joe touches young girls when they come to the White House. Yes, that's a fact. But he is going to team up with Lady Gaga, who is a spirit cooker and who was friends with Harvey Weinstein. Keep that B-roll up, guys, to stop sexual assault. So you have a man who sexually assaults every young girl who ever came in the White House when he was around, teaming up with Lady Gaga, who has spirit cookings with naked bodies and bathtubs that you go up and rub, and also is friends with Harvey Weinstein that got away with apparently hundreds of times sexually abusing women. So just look at Creepy Joe here. Put it full screen. So here's Creepy Joe groping. Look, this guy is a sick freak. I can't cover this anymore. Take it off the screen. So Joe Biden, who's never seen a young woman he didn't want to grope at the White House, is now going to stand up for victims of sexual assault. Really makes me sick, I'll tell you. Joe Biden was silent on this. Mark Halperin out at NBC, MSNBC amid sexual assault accusations. Oh, another leftist, Mark Halperin, the latest to fall. And guess what? Just like Harvey Weinstein, they all knew. Former ABC newser, and she now works for CNN, Clarissa Ward. Halperin's harassment was an open secret at network for years. That's right, folks. The tolerant liberals tolerate sexual assault until they get on the podium. Then they want to virtue signal you and act like they care.
They all knew about Harvey Weinstein. They all knew about Mark Halperin. They all knew about all of it. They all know about creepy Joe Biden, folks. Believe me, they all know about the succulent hot dogs. They all know about the pizza maps. They know about Laura Silsby. They know about all of it, and they don't say anything. And the louder they speak out against it, the more you know they're probably guilty of it. Corey Feldman says his life is in danger because he wants to expose pedophile ring that abused him. And Corey Haim. And now Fox News is picking this up, folks. Uh-oh, look out. And Craig Sawyer has reached out to Corey Feldman. Alex Jones has reached out to Corey Feldman. We're going to try to get him on the show. Uh-oh, is the pedophile ring coming down, Creepy Joe? Jesus Campos reportedly left the country days after Vegas massacre. Wow, boy, is that a new ripple into the Vegas massacre story. As if the ripple yesterday of Bruce Paddock, Stephen Paddock's brother, getting arrested for child porn wasn't enough. Where's Joe Biden on that, by the way? Bruce Paddock arrested for child porn, Lady Gaga and Joe Biden silent. Well, maybe they were the benefactors of some of that. Ashley Judd offered to have sex with Harvey Weinstein to avoid rape. I can't even say that with a straight face. Folks, Ashley Judd is such a piece of work. So she's the one that opens the door into Weinstein Gate. She's the one that first goes public on Harvey Weinstein. Hundreds of other women follow. Then she gets the first television interview on Weinstein. I think it happened yesterday on ABC News, which, by the way, was covering up for Mark Halperin for all these years. And says in order to avoid rape, she offered to have sex with Weinstein. Explain that logic to me. No. Think about how backwards this logic is. Folks, the truth is she's just lying through her teeth. Ashley Judd is a narcissistic attention whore, and perhaps another type of whore, but we'll leave that to other people to debate. So what happens is she's getting bullied by Weinstein, but she really wants that fame. She really wants those awards. She really wants the big money movie deals. So she says, well, Harvey's trying to rape me right now, but I do want to be famous. I do want to be rich. I do want the movie deals he's offering me. So, okay, and you know what? It's not going to be rape because I'm going to let Harvey Weinstein have sex with me. That way we can avoid a whole rape scenario here. Folks, this is just like you've known. This is just like we've been saying. People like Harvey Weinstein take advantage of people like Ashley Judd, who are nothing more than narcissistic attention whores. So Harvey Weinstein knows this, and he knows he can leverage his power into getting Ashley Judd to take off her clothes, watch him masturbate, shower, and then rape her. Oh, but it's not rape, because there was a deal on the table with Ashley Judd where she offered to have sex as long as she got the movie roles and the big money and big fame. Of course, that's just my theory of how you say you offered to have sex with someone in order to avoid rape. Wow. All right, folks. That does it for today's War Room. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off Silver Bullet, 50% off Brain Force, 50% off Anthroplex. All kinds of specials at InfoWarsStore.com. 50% off Vitamin D, Winter Sun. All of it's at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how you support us. Thanks for tuning in. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.